Get me on there.
Blog Talk Radio.
American Conservative Party Radio. My name is Tracy.
And I'm Bill.
Welcome, Bill.
Yeah.
Squeezing in right underneath the line there.
Well, it's kind of like when you're old and decrepit and your eyes don't work so good and you misdial the number a minute and a half before the show starts. It's like, oops.
Thank God we don't do show prep.
Yeah, that's right. Man, we would have been so hung out.
Well, I got something to start. I have something to start off with. I have a few thoughts this evening.
Oh, no. Really?
Yes, I have a few thoughts. It happens on occasion. I've been accumulating them.
Hey, all right.
Okay, nowadays, people, well, actually for like the last 20 years or so especially, people have thrown around the slur racist to anyone that dares question affirmative action.
Yep.
Or the plans of black people.
Yep.
Not African American.
No.
See, I'm tired of hyphen people.
Yeah, really.
I was born in this country. I'm an American.
Yep.
My parents were born in Ireland. They came here, became citizens. They could be Irish American, but both will quickly note that they have lived more of their lives in the United States than anywhere else and consider themselves Americans first and foremost.
And that's as it should be.
I believe that is true. Now, when I dare criticize President Obama, claims of racism start percolating in those small little brains of the perpetually offended. Go ahead, say it, throw the slur out. Far from recoiling in horror that such a charge could be leveled, I'm more than likely to consider you too mentally incompetent to have any reasonable discussion with, or to use the term in the Obama health care reform bill, mentally retarded.
Yes.
Further, I dispute the charge on the basis that calling a black man stupid is not racist, if in fact he is stupid. And given some of the gaffes Obama has pulled in the first 6 months of his administration, and comparing them and the left's response to George Bush, stupid is as stupid does.
Perhaps it's stupidest.
Stupider?
No, I'm, you know, if somebody's racist, couldn't they be stupidest also?
No. No. Jeez. You know, my mom always said about a box of chocolates,
yeah,
I want the cherry-covered ones.
Okay.
Recently, someone saw my profile picture and suggested, given my condition,
yeah,
it was clear I lacked male companionship. Now, I'm not sure what condition he was referring to, so I stated each in order of my preference. Fat, slovenly, ugly, gap-toothed, smelly, and with bad breath. Apparently, he was unable to pick and slunk back into whatever particular hole his pea brain could fit into. I am almost ready to accept any particular charge someone wants to level on the grounds that if we can get past the slurs, get them off to the side, we might have something concrete to talk about. I know, proof that I too have stupid moments.
Okay.
But
well, at least perhaps naive moments.
Unfortunately, the slur throwers have nothing else in the quiver. Having shot their one arrow of attack, they are relegated to spittle-throwing, stammering, repetitive yelps. Like a little,
yep,
the little rat dogs that I call little rat dogs.
Yeah. I
last
love
week,
it.
Last week I purchased Mark Levin's Liberty and Tyranny. And I'm
yeah,
not
yeah,
quite finished the reading. I think I'm down about 190 pages. And there's only about 270 in the book, so I'm pretty far in there. I have this to say. The damn book is making me radical.
Oh, God.
Yeah. The more I read, the more I'm convinced the United States has become a nation of appeasers and pleasers.
Yes.
Obama, the chief cook and bottle washer of the boot-licking brigades. We want people to like us. I'm so sick of that shit. First of all, I don't like most of the people that don't like us, so why should I care what they think?
Exactly.
And yes, it is prejudice to say that if you live in the Middle East and are not Jewish, I don't like you.
Mm.
Now, there might be a few people over there worthy of friendship, but by and large, nope, don't give a shit. First, I'm not much for religion, as most of you know, but if you are a woman and Muslim, I reserve a special place of disdain for you in my pocket. The back pocket, the one I sit on. The healthcare debate rages on.
Oh, yeah.
There are those that have, those that are for it, have two things in mind. More power over others, more power to curb our appetites, limit our activities, limit our liberties, shortcut the pursuit of the golden years. Others just want medical coverage because they think they deserve it, or have screwed up lives and medical care dominates their needs, or once they have insurance, then they can get all the medical care they need to live to be 100 in great health. Victoria has begun to believe that she is too old and too sick to get much out of Obamacare. I think she's right. She's also very creeped out. She said this over the weekend. Really creeped out about this mandatory end-of-life counseling.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You should be. Hey, is Kevorkian a Democrat?
I suspect, but I don't know that.
People are accusing me of being an anti-Social Security. Yep, I am. People are accusing me of being anti-Medicare.
Yep.
I am.
Yep.
People are accusing
and I'm
me
on
of
it.
Being, people are accusing me of being anti-caring. Yeah. If by caring you mean taking from the rich and using it to pay for the poor, yep, being accused of being anti-poor.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen a poor person in the United States?
Nope.
4 billion people wish they were poor in the United States.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you know what poor looks like in the United States? Dressed,
let's see.
Fed,
poor,
and warm.
Poor in the United States. Poor in the United States means you have at least one color television, 1.5 cars, enough to eat every day.
And you poop in water.
Yeah, with a roof over your head that probably doesn't leak.
Even if it did.
Yeah, really.
People in the poor in this country are dressed, fed, and warm. Now, are they dressed appropriately? Not always. Are they fed whatever they want? No. Are they always as warm as they could be? No. But I can usually suggest this, and this is going to get me a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Out of trouble.
Okay.
Dressed, fed, and warm, and usually with a cigarette.
Yeah, right.
Or a beer. Or a beer. You know,
no, that's a 40-ouncer, man. Come on.
No. Speaking of beers, I want to spend some time a little bit later on the beer social that was held at the White House last week. Didn't that look like an in-law gathering?
Oh, man.
Two Mormon missionaries,
hey.
A Jehovah's Witness, and a Baptist. Figure out who I think is who.
Do you know what the most telling photograph of that whole thing was?
Oh, we'll talk about it. I know which one you're talking about. We'll talk
about
it.
Yeah, okay, fine. But we need to talk about it.
We will talk about that.
Okay.
Two Mormon missionaries, a Jehovah's Witness, and a Baptist. You figure out who's who. And let the Mormons and Jehovah's Witness come crying at me. Right.
There you go.
Sorry, the Baptist. Not religious. Go ahead and aim it up. Bill, how was your weekend?
Hey, my weekend was good. You know what?
What?
After 45 years, just today, I ran across my old dog tags.
I didn't have dog tags, you know that?
Really?
Air Force didn't issue dog tags unless you were... unless you were, there was specific MOSs, I think, that had dog tags.
Okay.
You know, if you were subject to mobility exercises,
mm-hmm.
I think you had tags.
Okay. Well, after 45 years, I ran across mine. Mine said Methodist. Yeah.
Does that mean you're
whatever?
You're a method actor.
Yeah. That's me.
Are you still a Methodist, Bill?
You know what? It has probably been, and I will tell you that I believe in God. I have been baptized twice, and all of that stuff. I will tell you that I have not been inside of a church other than for funeral services in probably something like 35 years. But you know what? I'm walking over here to one of my sliding glass doors
in
my living room,
and
I am looking out at the mountain and where I know the river is in back of my place, and I'm saying, yep, that's good enough for me.
Ah, you nature worshiper. Go find a tree.
Let me tell you what, that's God's handiwork.
Yeah, go find a tree.
Yeah, right.
Go find a tree.
What I see is reams of paper.
Yeah.
My river hugger has been good. I'm good.
You're good?
Yeah, I'm good.
I did go out and play this weekend. I played another 9 holes this weekend.
How cool.
Did not play as well as I did the weekend before.
Yeah, well, okay. That's all right. It takes a while to blow the rust off.
So, but, you know, that was kind of okay. Played with an older couple. I was having a conversation with somebody my age, right? I was having a conversation with a couple today in the office, and he was married to somebody from the Philippines. And I said, my brother is married to someone from the Philippines also. They've been married 28 years.
Oh, my God.
28 years?
Yeah.
23. Oh, shit.
Coming up on their silver wedding anniversary, huh?
Getting old. You know, Victoria and I have been together for 15 years.
Okay.
As of this past week. It's not our anniversary. We've been... We started dating in July of 94.
Uh-huh.
We had known each other for about a year before that.
Uh-huh.
Just part of the same social group. So we didn't partner until later on in the year. But, which is weird because that just doesn't happen in the community. People have a tendency to go on one date and then move in on the second. We kind of strung it out there for a while.
Yeah.
Well,
you don't want to rush into these things.
Yeah, it's been 15 years, so you know, I'm thinking, you know, that's actually a nice number. You know, 15? To be involved in a committed relationship for 15 years, that's pretty good. That's all right. That's not too bad. But 28 years, I just started thinking, you know, here I am in my 50s. I don't feel like I'm in my 50s. I don't. There are times when the bones ache. Oh, by the way, bones ache. I went to the chiropractor this past week.
Oh yeah.
For the first time because of the accident.
Yeah.
I just finally gave up and said it's not getting better. I need to actually have someone go look at it. Okay. This is what I have. I've never been a big fan of chiropractors. Prejudice. Okay.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a whole lot of quackery. But this is what I've got to say. One, I understand how chiropractic works, at least this guy in my situation. And that is to stimulate the area, get lots of blood flowing in there, loosen things up, you know. And all that is good. I consider that to be all good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I did suggest to him that he's going to have the same reputation with me as dentists do.
Uh-oh.
He said, thank you.
Completely. Yeah.
Okay. Here's my problem. When I'm in pain and I go to a dentist, they make it hurt more than when I went in. And he did exactly the same thing. I was in just a little bit of discomfort. And I walked out of there hurting like a...
Yeah.
Oh, my God. There was one point where I had one leg in the air, one arm in the air, and I was kind of going, stop. And he goes, 5 more seconds. I'm like, 5 more seconds?
No,
he finished.
No,
I'm like,
I can't do it. I can't do it.
Oh, man. And then he used a metal bar on my head.
Oh,
okay.
I don't know that I've ever seen that one before.
This is what I have to say. First of all, I have another appointment with him tomorrow.
Yeah.
Let's say I'm not looking forward to it. By the way, he did that on Friday afternoon. I woke up Saturday. Ask me if I felt better. Go ahead, ask me. Did I feel better?
I don't know. Did you feel better?
Hell no! Hell no! Not at all.
Oh,
but man. I did go play golf.
You couldn't have felt all that bad then.
Look, I can play golf with 2 broken legs and a broken arm. So, you know, pain is not an issue. Do you know I dislocate 2 fingers in my left hand virtually every time I play?
Really?
Yeah, they're just screwed up knuckles, and the fingers just pop out, and it doesn't change the fact that I play.
Okay.
I usually have to ice my hand when I'm done. So, no, that doesn't change anything. Pain is not a stopping point for the golf course. All right, so the reason I got into this thing, it wasn't just Mark Levin's book. Where I started getting into this.
Yeah.
This thing that was going on over the last couple of days in my life. I am so fed up with the charges of racism when you talk about Barack Obama that I'm just done with it.
Yep.
Okay? You want to say racism, fine. I'm racist. Now what else do you want to talk about? Okay?
Yeah.
I'm just not interested about getting into that conversation anymore. Okay? I have responded, I'm not racist because Barack Obama is black. I don't like Barack Obama because he's stupid.
Yep. Absolutely stupid.
It has nothing to do with his color. I think he could be white and still stupid. So, wait a second. He is white, according to some blacks. He's still stupid.
That's true. Yeah.
He's still stupid. So I'm tired of dealing with that particular problem. You want to call me racist? Fine. Okay. People are starting to say, you want to let people suffer in pain and suffering? Let me see. If it'll stop them from behaving badly, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
A person that is taking drugs and being, drunk all the time, needs to feel some pain associated with those behaviors.
Yes.
Okay?
Absolutely.
Pain tells you stop doing stupid shit.
Yes, it does.
Eliminate the pain, and people won't stop doing stupid shit. So, I want Barack Obama to feel some political pain. And I can tell you right now that there are some buddies of Barack Obama that are wandering around their districts here in August around the country, and they're feeling some serious political pain.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking, more power to it, because I'm getting really tired of the people that are complaining about the fact that we're complaining. Okay. Somebody,
yes.
What was somebody said?
It took me a little bit, but yes.
Okay. Somebody said, if all this shouting keeps going on at town hall meetings, we're going to lose civil discourse. And I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, MoveOn.org, Acorn, and Code Pink are really great examples of left-sided civil discourse.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, right.
And while I do believe that, in fact, a whole lot of people that are going to these town halls are rude, okay, they are. Some of them are just being flat-out rude, okay. You know, their Congress critters are morons, and if you got to beat them over the head with yelling and screaming just to get them to pay attention, I'd say fine. What was that one? Was it Texas or Pennsylvania or Ohio? Somebody listened to a whole bunch of talking going on, and then somebody said, "Are you still going to vote for it?" He goes, "Well, yeah."
You
know, thinking about Obama, kind of like, okay, well, so much for listening to your constituents.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, now understand something. I'm a big fan of the idea of politicos not listening to constituents when the constituents are idiots. Okay?
Okay.
So, you know, here's the idea. When our troops are in harm's way in a combat zone, okay, and the constituents get together and say, pull them out, okay, the constituents are idiots, and if the polls, you know, listen to them, I'm going to give them all kinds of crap for it. Okay? There's a time and a place, and troop in harm's way, okay, is not a place for, you know, a immoral majority to start getting, you know, religion about what is good and bad about having a military.
Yep, absolutely.
So,
you and I have a soft spot there.
Yeah, in and of itself, I don't have a big problem with the idea of polls not necessarily paying attention to their constituents. Okay, but healthcare is not troops in harm's way.
No, it isn't.
And there is when something's not going to be enacted for 4 years, there is no need to have 16 seconds worth of discussion about it.
Exactly.
You know, let's have 16 days. Let's have 16 weeks. I'm all for about 16 months of discussion about it. Because the longer we're discussing healthcare, the farther this country is getting from healthcare reform.
Exactly.
And let me rephrase this, okay? We're not talking about healthcare reform. At least
the left is not
talking about health care reform.
Nope.
Obama is certainly not talking about health care reform.
Nope.
He is talking about health care insurance reform.
Mm-hmm.
And the first place he should be talking about health care insurance reform is the damn malpractice insurance that doctors are facing.
Oh, tort reform. Yes.
Oh, I didn't say that word.
I know. I was filling in the subtext.
Because, you know, I work for an attorney.
I understand. Actually, you work for multiple attorneys.
I work for multiple attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
None of them who, by the way, take contingency fees. Not one of them.
Actually, it's cash on the barrel head, isn't it?
Cash on the barrel head before
there
we
you go.
Start. Yes, thank you very much. No. Yeah. So, you know, if you want to, I have a problem with tort reform, okay? It's almost exactly the same problem I have with term limits, okay? I'm opposed to term limits because it restricts the freedom of citizens to elect who they want to elect.
Well, then you weren't in favor of the whichever amendment that it was that limited the president, right?
Correct. 25th Amendment.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't remember which one, but yeah.
Okay. I am generally speaking opposed to those because, you know, as stupid as we are sometimes, you know, we deserve the polls we elect, and if we want to continue to elect people like, you know, Barney Frank and Robert Byrd and Barack Obama and John McCain, then we deserve what we get, which is, of course, one of the reasons why Barack Obama is sitting in the White House right now, because a whole lot of us conservatives said, you want it, you can have it.
Yeah.
Because the alternative was not acceptable. So, yeah, I'm opposed to term limits because I think we should have the right to vote whoever we want to vote for.
Okay.
I think McCain-Feingold was a really bad idea.
Oh, bad.
Instead of doing what it was supposed to do, which is what they said it was going to do, it did what they wanted it to do, which was to make it harder for incumbents to lose.
Mm-hmm.
That said, tort reform.
Yep.
There are times and places where behavior of doctors is so egregious, I simply want them slammed. And the damage they do is so horrendous that there is no acceptable compensation for the damage that they have caused.
Okay.
Okay. And I will suggest to you that those situations are actually very rare and very far and few between.
Okay.
Certainly not as regular as certain law, award amounts would suggest.
Mm-hmm.
And just because something bad happens doesn't mean that it was the doctor's fault.
Exactly.
Okay. I would like to suggest that, Saab owes me about $1 million for those airbags not deploying.
Yeah, right.
Okay. But, one, Saab wasn't at fault for that accident.
True.
That's all there is to it. So, I have a problem with tort reform. I think there needs to be some way to approach it that makes more sense than capping at some arbitrary number. A long time ago, I suggested that if you want to put a cap in there, put the cap at whatever amount people have in the way of life insurance on themselves. So if you have purchased $100,000 worth of life insurance on yourself, that's the value you have put upon yourself in the event of your death for your family. So if something happens to you, that's where it stops, $100,000.
Playing devil's advocate here.
Don't bother. I long ago gave up that idea for the simple fact of the matter is people have to pay for insurance.
Exactly.
Insurance can be damn expensive, and, they may not be able to afford it even if they wanted to.
Yep.
So I pass that. It's not necessarily a great idea. That was my issue. There has to be a way of dealing with tort reform in such a way as that it gets rid of these humongous and usually unwarranted awards that, create doctors. I mean, our friend Sue, she was a general practitioner that did lots of OBGYN work. She was paying $120,000 a year for her malpractice.
Yep. OBGYN is horrible in terms of their malpractice rate.
Now she didn't have to pay that. That came out because she worked for an HMO, a PPO system. So it came, they pay for it, but that's what it was. If she wanted to go out on her own, it was $120,000.
Tracy, that means that the rates that people paid to be in that HMO, that number was reflected in that.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
That's right.
No doubt about it.
Yep.
And that's the other. Let me diverge here just even a little bit further. You know what? People do not understand this concept of insurance.
I know.
What is hard about this? Okay? Let's talk about what an insurance policy is.
Yep.
An insurance company says, let me see, we're going to insure a group of people for, let's say, houses. We're going to insure houses.
Okay.
We're going to insure 100,000 houses. And statistically, we know that out of those 100,000 houses, over the course of any 1 year, 12 of them are going to burn down.
Yep. That's a law of large numbers.
We're going to take those 12 burned down houses and say, this is how much it's going to cost. For all the other minor damages to the other 18,000 homes, it's going to cost this much. We're going to divide those two amounts, divided by 100,000 houses, and that's the premium those 100,000 people were going to pay for their insurance.
Yep.
The insurance company is going to collect those premiums, put the money into the bank or into some kind of investment, collect interest on the money until a house burns down or somebody
yep.
else has a claim.
Yep.
And then they're going to take that money and they're going to pay those claims. In the meantime, whatever they've earned on interest, they're going to put in their pocket.
Yes.
That's their profit. Congratulations. If they've done themselves well and only 17 houses burned down instead of 18, so much the better for them. Everybody gets a minor reduction in their premiums next year.
Yep.
That's how it works. That's how it works with car insurance. It works how it works with life insurance. That's how it works with health insurance.
Yes, it does.
Okay. So, if somebody comes into the system with a pre-existing condition, that means that what's going on right now is their living room is on fire and they want household insurance.
Yes, they do.
Okay. There's no doubt whatsoever that the premiums everyone's going to have to pay have to be higher because while 18 houses may burn down over the course of the year, we're guaranteeing that this one is.
Mm-hmm.
And that means costs go up automatically.
Absolutely.
Just because of the pre-existing conditions. So,
yep.
Pre-existing conditions do impact insurance costs, and insurance companies are not necessarily real big happy people with pre-existing conditions.
Yes.
It increased their costs. It increased the risks from a percentage, a probability, to a certainty.
Absolutely.
When you take a probability of a major medical event occurring in 0.5% of the cases, in 0.8% of the cases, and you raise that to 1, the cost is higher.
Yep.
It's just simple math. All right. So this idea that we can eliminate pre-existing conditions, insure everybody no matter what, come what may, and expect that the costs are going to be lower or more reasonable is crazy. It has no bearing on insurance. So this is what I suggested to people over the last 72 hours. I said, if Barack Obama, in his desire to have health care reform, had come out and said, if you have a pre-existing condition, if you can't get insurance, we're going to give you a voucher for insurance.
Mm-hmm.
The federal government is going to give you a voucher so that you can afford insurance. And if there's no insurance company that will insure you, we are going to create an insurance pool, and you're going to be in it.
Yep.
If he had
actually,
done that,
that is a little bit like the assigned risk insurance pools.
If he had done that, he would be passing health care reform today with 80% of the people saying, cool.
Yep, yep, absolutely.
And a whole shitload of conservatives would be on board with it.
Absolutely.
Wrongly, because it shouldn't be done at the federal level.
Exactly.
But it would be flying through with flying colors. But
yes.
That's not what he wants to do.
No, it isn't.
All right. Over the weekend, I did a little Twitter. A little quiz. Pop quiz time.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Here's the pop quiz. Baker bakes 5 loaves of bread. 2 customers come into his store. Bill, what is the equitable distribution of those 5 loaves of bread?
Whoever has the price of that loaf of bread.
There is no equitable distribution. They all belong to the damn baker.
Well, at a price.
They're his. Period. Done. We haven't talked about the 2 people coming into the store actually to buy bread.
Ah, okay.
They're his. Now, if they want to buy bread, then we can start talking about price. But we're still not talking about equitable distribution.
No.
Okay, the 5 loaves of bread are his. Hello, people. I made some money today. Wasn't a lot of money, but I did make some money today. Okay? Here's the equitable... There is no equitable distribution of my income. It's mine.
Okay.
Government has no right to it. None. Zero. Zilcho.
I'm with you.
That is the problem with conservatives today. We have bought into, as a group, the idea that there is, in fact, equitable distribution somehow, some way, to be discerned for that baker. We are no longer talking about the fact that the bread belongs to the baker. We have conceded the point that the customers deserve some of the bread. We're just arguing about how much. That's all we're arguing. Conservatives are only arguing about the fact that the baker should be able to get 4. He made it. The two people should split 1 because, you know, they didn't. Or they should get each 1 loaf of bread and the baker gets 3 because that's what he earns and they are getting... We're talking about an equitable distribution when there should be no equitable distribution at all. That's what conservatives have given up by accepting the premise Social Security is okay. Medicare is okay. Healthcare reform is okay because, of course, don't they deserve some medical treatment? No, they don't.
Nope.
This is the problem that I had last week in our show last week. Okay? It was driving me crazy. Okay, this idea that a person who is suffering from some horrible accident or malady walks into an emergency room and deserves some care. Every conservative I know that has any kind of pulpit goes, well, yes, of course they deserve some care. No, they don't. If by deserve you mean I have to pay for it.
Yes, that's right.
If I have to pay for it, that person doesn't deserve it from me. Now, if a person is walking down the street and bleeding, and you're walking by that person, and you don't offer some help, I'm going to slap you upside the head.
Yep.
Okay, but if a person is bleeding, and they grab you and take your wallet out of your pocket saying, I'm going to the hospital, okay, you know, you've been mugged. Conservatives have been mugged. Okay? We think because a person is bleeding, we owe them something in the way of care. We don't. We may have a moral obligation. We may have a moral duty. We may have a duty as human beings to do so, but we have no requirement to pay out of our pocket for them simply because they think they have the right to it.
Right.
They do not. If they are walking down the street and they have a communicable disease and are a problem for public health, okay, they don't have a right to care. We have the right to put them into a room and lock it.
Okay.
To protect us. It's no different than if somebody's walking around the street with a gun pointing it at people. I have a right to put you in a room and lock you up. You are threatening my health.
Okay? Okay.
It's not a right to care. It's a protection from my security. Okay. Now, this is a radical idea. This is strange. This is going to get people all kinds of pissed off at us. Now, you know what? I don't think anybody that's listening to me right now today is going to agree with me 100%. And that's okay.
Yep.
Perfectly okay.
We are, unlike the left, we don't require that you believe the same way we do.
No, we don't. However, I want you to be really clear about something.
Yes.
If you want to say that you support the idea that our founding fathers established the principles for this country, if you believe in the individual liberties and personal rights and personal responsibilities that are the foundation of this country, and if you want to call yourself conservative based on those principles, then you better start agreeing with me more than you should be agreeing with Barack Obama.
Oh, absolutely. But the my point is, we do not bring, as conservatives, we do not bring the full force of government down on you if you do not agree with us.
Well, I said it a few weeks ago, and I'm going to say it again. There's millions of people alive today because I'm not in charge.
Yeah, right.
Okay. There's a whole lot of people that have Social Security and Medicare today because I'm not in charge.
Yep.
There's a whole lot of people wandering around in this country right now that are not United States citizens, nor were they invited to be here because I'm not in charge.
I have long said that I will absolutely willingly opt out of both Social Security and Medicare, both of which I am on. I am 66 years old. I will absolutely opt out of those as long as the government gives me all of my and my employer's contributions to both of those systems with interest from the time that those contributions were made. And I will provide for myself. Thank you very much.
See, people won't believe you.
They ought to believe me because I am not in the habit of saying something that I will not, in fact, do.
Today, I lack health care insurance.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I have spent of my 50-odd years on this planet, most of that time lacking health care insurance.
Mm-hmm.
My father had good health care insurance when he worked for the Chicago Transit Authority,
mm-hmm.
and I was a child in his house.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in the military, I had very good medical care, although the dentists and I have some bones to pick. And on the rare occasion when I've actually worked for a employer of substantial girth, I've had some employer-provided health care.
Mm-hmm.
In my entire working career, that totals out to be 5 years.
Uh-huh.
Now, am I without medical care?
No.
I've been to urgent care and to doctors at least 3 times in the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm paying bills for those, but
yep.
I have had care when I needed it.
Yep.
Okay. The likelihood of me buying health insurance for myself anytime in the near future is pretty slim.
Mm-hmm.
But people will say, and I will concede, that if I absolutely need to, I can walk into any VA hospital in the country and get medical care.
Aha, okay.
Okay. Having served in our military for 4 years, I am, the Veterans Administration is a place where I can get medical care.
I can't.
Why?
I'm a Class 8. Which means that I am the lowest priority in terms of VA medical care, and they will not treat those at the lowest priority. It actually kind of torques my jaws, but nevertheless, that's the fact of the matter. So it's kind of like, okay, that's fine.
When I developed a seizure disorder back in my 20s,
mm-hmm.
I, in fact, did go to VA care for about 8 years.
Wow. Okay.
And That was my primary care for that seizure disorder. However, the seizures started in their infancy while I was in the military. Military denied that it was their cause. However, the VA did care for that particular issue for 8 years until I was seizure-free.
Aha!
I've not been back since.
Cool.
But I was treated by the VA in the Chicago area, and I would suggest to you it wasn't gold-plated, platinum standard, but it was perfectly fine
mm-hmm.
medical care. I certainly don't have any particular problems with it. All right, where are we?
I don't know.
There's other things that we want. I want to get done. Let's talk about the Bear Summit for a few minutes.
Oh, okay. We can talk about the Bear Summit. I have one point that I want to bring up. We got about 14 minutes left.
Yeah, go right ahead because I know which one it is and I agree.
Okay. In regards to health care, two points about that. One is the administration is saying we're going to tax Cadillac policies. And I thought to myself when I read that, I thought, really? Well, in that case, I guess that members of Congress are going to be funding all of the health care for everybody else out of their own pockets.
Funny,
because
first thing I thought when they said Cadillac was GM union workers are going to be paying.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Congress has got them beat. Those folks have got a pretty cushy plan. So I don't know. The other thing is about the health care issue is there has been a lot of talk about the health care initiative and the fact that while they have passed it out of committee, they have not passed it out of either house. And now the representatives and the senators are back in their districts and their states, and they're holding their usual town halls and that kind of thing for their own re-election prospects. And there is a massive amount of protest about the health care plan, and people are showing up to their town hall meetings and saying, we don't like it, we don't want it, and shame on you for voting for it, and, well, actually not voting for it yet, unless they were on the committee, but for supporting it, and they're getting an earful to the point that some of these people are not even holding town halls. For instance, Virginia Senator Jim Webb, Democrat, has no town halls scheduled.
Smart man.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't want to know what the heck his constituents think about it.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm certain he knows perfectly well, which is why he's avoiding it like the plague.
Oh, I am sure that is true. The other thing about that is that the White House at flag@whitehouse.gov has encouraged the supporters of their health care, of this administration's health care, to report those people by name that are opposed to health care.
I don't agree with that interpretation of it.
Really?
I've read it. And
I read it and I said, yep, sounds to me like that's what they're looking for.
And I read it because, of course, you know, I work for an attorney.
Yep.
And words have meanings.
Yep.
And I could read that as saying, if you're aware of any misinformation that's going out there or that's being spread out there, send us those emails or documents that show the misinformation so that we can address those things. Okay? Now, I agree that if you receive an email that you think is misinterpreting or misstating what the healthcare system is, and somebody forwards that email to the White House, that in fact, not only does the White House now have your name and your position, they also have your email account.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see where the result of that particular point is as you suggest.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see, I can interpret the way it was worded, which you got to admit, the White House's ability to word things at this point in a way that's not offensive, stupid is as stupid does.
Mm-hmm.
I think it can be interpreted both ways reasonably. I think it was miscalculated.
At least miscalculated.
misspoken?
No, I don't think it was misspoken.
I think I don't need to demonize the Obama administration, okay? I don't have to make it out to be any worse than the miscreants, thugs, and idiots that they are by interpreting things in a way that, you know, makes them look more thuggish, more idiotic than they already are, okay? I don't think anybody else has to either. They're proving themselves to be all-around idiots already. So, I'm willing to concede the idea that the statement could be interpreted less egregiously than, in fact, the others are.
I would submit to you that, given the track record of this administration,
that they are truly stupid, and a stupid interpretation is more likely than a nefarious one.
Yep. My point is that given the track record of this administration, given the fact that B. Hussein Obama hates criticism of himself or his policies, that this is in fact a way to gather information about people that oppose his policy.
Well, so that we're clear,
yep.
I have sent my name and address, my name, city, and state, and my email to the White House.
So have I. I self-reported.
Yeah, self-reported. So
yep.
If, in fact, that's what they're interested in, hey, here I am,
yep.
Over
yep.
here.
You betcha, right here, raising my
right
hand,
here,
saying, yes, I oppose that.
Not a problem.
Not a problem at all.
About it, not a problem. Hey, if Barack Obama wants to invite me to a beer, I'm going to appear, one, not wearing a suit, jacket, and tie.
Yep.
I'm probably going to be wearing my shorts, sandals, and T-shirt, which is my normal winter garb. I'm going to want a beer, and I'm going to drink it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as long as it's a good beer. None of that light
stuff. No, if it's free, it's good.
Nah, none of that light stuff. I'm sorry. I ain't going for it. A nice, good stout will work well for me. But other than that, not so much.
No, that's fine. If somebody else is buying, that's fine. Somebody else is buying. Which, I did ask, Obama invited four CEOs to lunch.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Obama invites four CEOs to lunch. They come to lunch. Staff gets the credit cards from the CEO, and they bill them. Okay. So my question has been and is: did Gates and Crowley get a bill for the beers?
Did maybe only Crowley get a bill?
Just asking.
Yeah, I know. That's all. I just want to know. That's all. Transparency, Hey, so about that beer summit.
Yeah.
The big thing for me, the biggest thing for me was that photo of them coming down from the White House steps and Crowley helping Gates down and Obama with his nose in the air preceding them by about 10 feet or so. And it's like, wait a minute. Which one of these people cares?
You know, when you take an oath to serve and protect, oh, wait a minute,
mm-hmm.
Obama took that oath, didn't he?
Mm. Yeah, I think
Crowley's
so.
Crowley's had more experience.
Yes, he has.
He's been doing it longer.
Yep.
Obama's still, the serve and protect thing is new to Obama. He's never had to serve or protect before.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought it was a bad idea. I thought it was a bad idea for Crowley to go. I really did. I thought it was.
Yeah, I did too.
I mean, there was no win
for him.
Well, let me tell you, as far as I'm concerned,
yeah,
he came out of that rose garden smelling like a rose.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the only one that did.
Oh yeah. Yep.
I don't think Gates hurt himself at all?
No, I don't think. Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, who knows how accurate the reporting was?
Yeah, I don't think Gates hurt himself. He didn't help himself, but he didn't hurt himself.
Mm-hmm.
But Obama and Biden, yeah,
oh,
they came
man.
Across as really, really, really good.
Yep.
Not good for themselves.
Nope.
Now, I want to suggest to you that I have been rather uncomfortable here tonight.
Uh-oh.
Because my comfortable chair broke, and I've been sitting on two towels on one of our dining room tables. Chairs.
Oh, my God.
Not comfortable.
No.
And what this reminds me of is the fact that I'm driving a 1997 Ford Taurus.
Yeah.
Okay. That doesn't qualify for cash for clunkers.
Oh, no. You mean you don't get that $4,500 of...
No,
mine and some various other
according
people?
According to the EPA, my 1997 Ford Taurus gets 23 miles to the gallon.
Yeah?
Downhill with the wind and the engine off, but...
yeah, right.
Apparently it gets 23 miles to the gallon. So I don't get any money for it. Oh, and by the way, last year when we brought it up from Florida when my father-in-law died,
yeah.
We parked it in the garage, and it wasn't insured for 4 months.
Oh, boy.
So,
which means it's
it
hard to get insured.
It was titled a year ago. We titled it in Victoria's name a year ago, but it wasn't insured for the entire year.
Uh-oh.
We insured it starting in December. So, which is good, because 8 days after we started, we put in insurance on it, we got into an accident with it.
Oh, boy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oops. Dang.
All right. So, cash for clunkers.
Cash for clunkers.
We only got a minute, and this is what I have to say.
Okay.
Okay? As a stimulus idea, it's actually not a bad one. I mean,
it's
you know,
horrible.
People won't buy cars.
It's horrible.
No, it's doing exactly what it's designed to do. People are going to go out and buy cars.
It is horrible.
There's
and the reason that it is horrible is because vehicles that are junked, that are slated for destruction, the primary source of revenue for those people that junk them is the engine. That's their primary source of revenue.
You got 40 seconds to finish.
What do they do? They put sodium silicate in the damn thing and run it. And that seizes up the engine and destroys it. All of a sudden.
You saw that Volvo getting it, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, and I also know some people that run some of those businesses, and I know where their revenue comes from.
All right. We got 15 seconds. So.
Hey.
We're going to continue Cash for Clunkers next week.
Excellent.
Bill.
Tracy.
Glad you can make it.
It's been a great week.
It's going to be interesting.
Yes, it is.
Good night.
Good night, folks.
All right.
We off?
We're off.
Cool.
And
oh, man. Ooh. This is heating up. You know that?
What? Things are heating up, yes.
Yep.
Things are heating.
Yep. Did you see any of the reports about Rahm, Emmanuel?
The more recent ones today?
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to get into what was going on. We had, we didn't have clients all day. We had clients all afternoon.
Wow.
And I was working with our new attorney on training most of the morning. So we didn't get home tonight. You know, by the time we got out of the office and did a short little shop jaunt and then took care of dinner, I mean, I literally came down here at 8:05. That was the first time I actually sat down. And
wow.
So, I mean, I was thinking about things and such, but I've been out of touch for the most part. Now, I've had Twitter going on, and you know that I've been throwing stuff up there and such.
Actually, you know what? I've been off Twitter for about 5-6 days.
No, business is doing fine.
Good.
We picked up two new clients the first week, Plan B. Last week was the second week of Plan B. We picked up four new clients. We've already picked up one new client so far this week. We'll pick up the next one tomorrow.
That was
pretty much given tomorrow. So our goal is 2 to 3 per week. And since we put in Plan B, doom, 3 weeks.
Yep.
3 wins.
Wow.
Business as far as that is concerned is doing fine. I'm hitting my target. I want 10 of my clients. I want 10 cases from my clients a week. And I've had the last 2 weeks, I've had exactly 10 from them. So that's fine business-wise for me. We're getting where we want to be as far as business is concerned. The CJ is less than 3 weeks from going back to school.
Wow. Yeah. Jeez.
A lot of the stuff that's going on, I got the book on Friday. I've been reading it when I can. I'm getting no more than 2 pages at a time.
Wow.
Because I get 2 pages into it, and things are just spinning. There's things that are going on, and I am dead serious about this general idea, that we have nickel and dimed ourselves. We have conceded the idea that there is an equitable distribution from the baker.
I know. We concede a whole lot of verbiage that we ought not to be doing.
Yeah,
on this healthcare issue, the things that I get out of the GOP and the conservative blogs is, there's a problem. And I'm saying, folks, you just screwed up. You said there was a problem. And there isn't.
Right.
Damn it.
Yeah, I said it today. There is no health care, issue.
No.
The issue is, how to pay for it.
Exactly.
I've said it over and over again. I think it's wrong, the suggestion that if Barack Obama came out and said, we're just going to take care of the people that can't afford it, can't get it because they're insured, you know, I think it would absolutely fly. I think it would be absolutely wrong by exactly the same reason that Social Security is wrong, that Medicare is wrong. It's the federal government getting involved in individual lives, and it doesn't belong there. However, having said that, that's something that would fly in a heartbeat.
It would. You know, unfortunately, but yes, it would.
So, you know, and he could get that passed before Labor Day, if he came out for that. But, you know, he's not, so I'm not too worried about it. But we have conceded too much of the premise. I'm no longer willing to concede the premise. And it's a situation that is getting me more and more into the idea that I am of the radical type. I know, and I'm sitting there trying to think about, you know, how far do you want to take this, Tracy? You know, I am not going to be one of the truthers or the birthers or Buchanan-like, you know, because it's simply not. But, you know, if I hold your feet and my feet and our feet to the fire of the principles of the founding of this country, then we have stepped way the fuck over the line.
Oh, yeah.
We need to get our ass dragged back hard and fast.
Yep, exactly, exactly.
Okay.
And that is why I don't have a problem with becoming a radical. Because we have conceded way too much ground, we have conceded way too much verbiage, and as long as we do that, then we have contributed to the problem.
Well, this is what I want you to do.
Okay.
Okay. I want you to sit down over the next week. Okay. And I want you to take that thought. Okay. That radical, we've conceded too much thought. And I want you to come up with, you know, 5-10 minutes, you know, and state your position on that. Because I'm going to take us in that direction. That's my desire, is to take us in that direction. And we're going to give Butch the opportunity to come on and disavow us. If he wants. I think he should.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm going to give him the opportunity to come on and disavow us. And then you and I can go get radical.
Okay. Cool. I'm just making.
We may not have a whole lot of people listening to us anymore, but.
Yeah, well, that's fine. How many people did we have tonight?
Well, I don't know, because we got to close it up before we.
Oh, is that right? We can't tell how many people.
Let me see if I can see. Five listeners.
Okay. Well, I know that we had Just Me Pammy. I don't know about anybody else. I know that Louisa was saying she was going to try to, and I know that Sherry out of, well, actually, I think she's out of Massachusetts, but her heart's really in Carolinas.
You know, TK was on for a little while.
Yeah, in fact, I got a, I saw him earlier, about halfway through the show, saying that
we were halfway through the show.
Yeah, that we were halfway through the show, and I know that Sub-Zero or Bus-Zero retweeted my 10-minute warning. What is this? Guns and shooting. Why would they boycott after they started all the hype? What in the hell was that in reply to? was about 5 hours ago. Jesus.
Yeah, too late.
Okay, fine. Okay. Sure. I can come up with that.
You know,
you betcha.
And then, you know, if you're willing to go off in that general direction,
then we can play off of that.
You know.
Absolutely.
I'm going to suggest to you that I'm not gonna go too far off the deep end.
I'm ready to. I gotta tell you, I am ready to.
Have you picked up Levin's book?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's gonna be a radical maker. I mean, his points that he makes across the board are,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have conceded certain arguments, and in doing so, you know, we have given legs to the things that we most oppose.
Absolutely.
And you know, our choice is either to continue to do so or to stop.
Yep. Yeah.
And I'm ready to stop.
I'm there.
And, you know, I'm not one that really gives a shit about what people think about me. So, you know, somebody wants to call me uncaring, racist, you know, fine. I don't have a problem with that. You know, I have no need to make people like me. I have no need to appease or be an appeaser.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not the purpose of this country, to appease or please.
That's right. That's
serve
exactly
tech.
Right.
One of
the things that I just bitterly resent is the double standard that is there. And the thing that really brought that to the forefront of my mind the last couple of days was this whole poster of Obama as the Joker.
Oh yeah, and
yeah.
They're just going nuts. But even though you look at the
are they going nuts? I mean, they're just going berserk over this whole issue of, oh God, that's racist. It is demeaning. It is dangerous. What in the world has happened to the concept of rational discussion, et cetera, et cetera? And I'm saying to myself, where the hell were you people when President Bush was being hanged in effigy? Burnt in effigy. Where were you when Governor Pingman was being hanged in effigy in Hollywood last Halloween? Where were you people then about dangerous and where in the world has our rational discussion gone? And I'm saying, you know what, folks? It went when you people were willing to condone that with people that you did not agree with. And I'm saying, you know what? If that's the standard, then screw you. I'm done with you. And whatever kind of calumny and ridicule we can heap on your heads, we're going to do that. Or at least I'm going to do that.
Yeah, there's a concept, and I've been trying to reach it for it all afternoon, with not a whole lot of success. It's going to come to me eventually at the point. It's this idea that, and it deals with torture. This idea that if we stoop to the tactics of those that oppose us,
mm-hmm.
then we're not any better than they are.
Bullshit.
Think about this for a second. Most of the people that say that
mm-hmm.
think that the terrorists are freedom fighters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. The idea that, you know, if you act like a barbarian, you're no better than a barbarian. Yeah, but you don't think that they're barbarians. You think they're freedom fighters. So,
exactly. Yeah.
Now, there's a way to work that and massage that in such a way as that it's the response is cleaner and more precise. And I haven't been able to work it. But it's sitting there and it's percolating in my head. I didn't bring it up today, even though I spent my first goal when I came down to sit down was to see if I could work that out. And I haven't been able to. But there's a place where that's going to go. You may do this. For the last 30-odd years of my life, I have done what-if scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What if I do this? Well, then what will probably happen is this. And if that happens, then this is what I want to happen. If that happens, then this is what I want to do. And I've run those scenarios in various ways, not just on events, but on people. If I say this to this person, how will they respond? Well, I know them so well that if I say this, then this is how they respond. Okay, my response to that response is this, to which they should respond this way. And then my response to that will be this. The idea is that, you know, I want to carry a discussion in a specific way, and so I plot out that process. Now, I need to do so well, I need to have a pretty good idea of how people respond in given circumstances or to given inputs.
Mm-hmm.
I call those creations in my head avatars. Okay.
Mm.
In my head is a Bill avatar. Okay?
Right.
The longer I know you, the more we interact, the better my avatar for you gets at responding in a way that mimics you, that reacts similar to you.
Right.
So that when I say something, I know Bill is going, with a fairly high probability, Bill is going to respond this way.
Right. Right.
Okay. And when I know that, then I can take it to the next step. And that process can be taken through many, many steps and iterations, the better I know you.
Right.
Well, that's a natural process. I do it with everybody. Okay.
Sure.
We
all do.
Once I realize somebody's going to be in my life on a regular basis, they get an avatar. And then I start working on that avatar, learning it, having discussions with people, you know, getting to build that avatar better and better so that the response, and then the what ifs grow, because now I'm able to take more detail, more information, more events, and put it together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you know, that's what, you know, that is how and what I do. In everything, you know, in this show, in my actions on ACP, you know, the better I know, the more I can anticipate. Now, people will say, well, it sounds to me like you're getting good at manipulating people. Yeah, absolutely, positively.
Well, all of us do that.
Yeah, my goal is that I want to manipulate people in such a way as that it's a win-win for both of us.
Yep.
I don't consider that manipulation to be bad if that's the case. And, of course, people say, well, any manipulation is bad. I said, okay. So when you bought a car last time and he got you to buy the car, you didn't have a problem with that manipulation, did you?
Exactly.
Well, no, I wanted a car. I said, so the fact that he manipulated you into buying that car was irrelevant because you wanted it to be manipulated.
Right.
You know, so the problem is not with the manipulation. See, we've conceded the premise. The problem is not the problem with the manipulation. The manipulation goes where? Okay?
Exactly.
That's the thing that you know, one of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, you know, they were going to negotiate life and death.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And, of course, you know, he said, so we've conceded the fact that we're not talking about life and death, we're only talking about the number of lives that are involved. Okay. So, you know, the premise has been conceded, now we're just negotiating, you know, everything else.
Yep,
the premise,
exactly.
The premise is, the bread can be equally distributed. Now we're just discussing how much and in what way.
Yeah, okay. Exactly, and to whom. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
I am no longer interested in this, in, you know, conceding the premise. Okay?
Right.
It's the baker's bread. There is no equitable distribution. Okay? So you and I are going to work on the process of dealing with our own base, our own conservative base.
Yep.
You know, to create the situation in which we are no longer going to concede the premise.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. I am no longer going to concede the premise anywhere, neither with conservatives nor with the liberal side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That means the liberal side is going to say all kinds of bad things about me. Who gives a shit? I don't give a shit.
Yeah. I ask me if that hurts me. Jesus.
Right. And that's what, you know, the whole idea of the people in the Middle East. You know, they don't like us, so why should I care whether they like us or not?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So the left is going to say all kinds of bad things about me. So what? Left is going to say all kinds of bad things about me no matter what. Why should I care about what they say? It's
exactly.
Irrelevant. I'm
yep.
not going to concede the premise anymore.
Nope.
You know,
gone.
Somebody says, well, you're racist. Yeah, okay, fine. So what? I'm racist. Now what?
Yeah, exactly. Now that we have determined that, so what?
Okay, that's my position. What are you going to do about it? You know,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the one person that I've had conversations with about things, she says, you're at least able to have a discussion about it because you argue from principles.
Okay.
I'm opposed to health care, you know, government-run health care because on principle it's wrong.
Exactly.
Okay. I argue from the principles that it's wrong. Okay. Everything. So we don't have lots of conversations about it because on principle, it's wrong. I won't concede the premise that government has some position, that people have some right, some claim upon me for health care. No, sorry, I don't concede that position. Okay? So she understands that. It's okay. So we can have general conversations about certain aspects about it, but she understands that I'm opposed for it, you know, on principles, I'm opposed to it. You know, we can discuss, you know, particular, you know, whether it applies or not or something like that, but, you know, I'm not conceding it at all. That's where I want us to go.
Okay. That works for me. Absolutely.
It's not something that that we're going to plan out or what if, because we don't need to.
Nope.
Okay.
No,
it needs that both of us understand functionally what those principles mean in our current political system. And it means that things like Social Security are wrong. We can see the fact that it's there and there's nothing we can do about it.
Yep.
That doesn't make it right. It's wrong. It shouldn't be there. It's there. We can see that it's there. It's not going to go away.
I agree.
But it's wrong. On principle, it's wrong. Medicare, it's wrong. On
yes,
principle, somebody walking into an emergency room does not have a right to care.
No.
Okay. Should they be treated? Well, you know.
I guess it really depends on whether you're saying, okay, is that a publicly financed healthcare system designed to take care of those people who were short-sighted enough that they did not take care of their own healthcare needs or were unable to for whatever reason were unable to afford if they were so poor that they could not afford insurance premiums for their health care, then at that point, I guess you check your whole cards and you say, okay, what is the obligation that the country has to those people, if any? And I would submit that obligation is pretty damn minimal.
Um, I would suggest that a person that has come in because they're injured, there's no obligation.
There is what?
No obligation.
Okay.
To the person that comes in with swine flu, there is an obligation because it is no different than a person, you know, walking around shooting a gun going off. Okay? It's a general threat that needs to be restrained. And, you know, that's where I was going with that general idea. The question is, and it is, you know, there is a response. Now, I've given the first response, which is the person walking up to the emergency room has no right to demand care.
Okay. I'm with you so far.
What duty does the hospital have to the patient that presents themselves? Okay. Now, my question is, you know, in fact, what is that hospital's license? What is its purpose? Okay. If that hospital's purpose is to give care to whoever presents itself, okay, then that purpose is fulfilled by taking care of that person. Okay.
Okay.
That purpose does not obligate me. That hospital, having decided that its purpose is to treat that person, cannot then turn around to me and say, you have to pay for it.
I think you have to be careful there, Tracy.
Well, I understand that.
The current law is that if you are a hospital, you cannot turn anybody away for treatment, for emergency treatment.
Sure, I understand that.
Okay.
I understand that. We made that law. We can unmake that law.
But that has already distorted that whole situation.
Right. It has.
Yeah.
You know, we've made that law. We can unmake that law.
Yep. Assuming we can overcome a filibuster, yes.
Okay. Anyways, that is, you know, that is something that I need to work out in my own head. You know, I've made the bold statement. That person does not have a right to demand care. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What obligation does, and I'm not talking about the law, okay? Forget the law. Okay. What obligation, if any, does the hospital have towards that patient? Okay. And I want to work that out better in my head because there is a principle in play here. I'm just not certain I understand which one it is and how it interacts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because it may have absolutely nothing to do with me. And then you end up in a situation, does Montana set itself a speed limit of 75 miles an hour? Do I care?
If I don't live in Montana, I don't think I do.
Right. If I don't live in Montana, I don't think I do. If I don't drive through Montana, I certainly don't have any care about it one way or the other.
Exactly.
Okay. So there's no principle at play in that point of view. I don't care what Montana does.
Exactly.
Okay. You know, if the hospital decides it's going to care, okay, and there's no obligation on my part, there's no interference on my part, do I care whether it does or not to care for that person?
Right.
Okay. On that principle, the answer is no, I don't care. It's irrelevant what that hospital does with that patient. However,
you know what we really get down to is what is the obligation of government versus what is the obligation, if any, of charity?
do we have, as citizens, a moral obligation to provide charity?
As an individual, I can say, yeah, I do. But that doesn't necessarily say, and I think everybody else ought to also.
Right. You cannot obligate me because you think it's a moral duty.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Which of course goes into other places. So I need you to also be careful about understanding that I know you might disagree with this initially, but I want you to think about it.
Okay.
Gay marriage follows from those principles. So think upon that, because it's going to take a process for you to get there. If, in fact, you ever do. I mean, I'm not suggesting that you will or not, but it goes because the one of the major... No, you know, I don't want to go there. Right. Just understand that I believe it goes in that general direction. If you want to go there into that discussion, that the principles that we're talking about in healthcare and taking care of this person, okay,
mm-hmm.
is exactly, in many regards, the same principle that deals with gay marriage.
Hmm.
Okay? Because we're talking about an obligation towards society as a whole. Okay.
No. See, I do not perceive it that way.
Okay, I understand. That's fine. Okay.
I perceive it as I have an obligation personally, myself, without calling on anybody else's resources, to say, do I have a neighbor in my community that, for whatever reason, is unable to call upon a resource that is basic to their living, then I personally have an obligation to see if there is something that I can do that will meet or help meet that need. But my point is this. That is my personal obligation from myself, from my own feeling of what my duty is, and it is not a governmental response, whether it is at the local, state, or federal level.
I don't disagree with you.
Okay.
You know, what I consider to be personal obligations,
mm-hmm.
Personal responsibilities, are in fact personal obligations, personal responsibilities.
Right.
They bear no, you know, effect upon you whatsoever.
Exactly.
If I think I have a moral obligation to serve this country in military, then I have a personal obligation to serve this country in the military.
Yes.
That doesn't mean you do or you don't.
Right.
The barrier between us on that distinction is insurmountable. Okay. I can't take that obligation and in any way toss it over the wall to you.
Right. Exactly.
The barrier between the two, you know, exceeds the ability to be tossed over there. Okay.
Right.
So we don't disagree on that point.
Okay.
The question becomes, if you hold yourself out as an obligor, somebody that has to fulfill that obligation, okay?
Or help fulfill it, yeah.
Or helpful. Can you create an obligation not to other individuals, but to society?
No. Absolutely not. Not in my view, anyway.
Okay. That's the strongest argument, never mind. that's the issue that we have when the person presents themselves at the hospital. Okay? If the hospital feels that it has an obligation to that person, that's fine. Okay? But the hospital cannot yet then turn around and to the community say, you have to support us.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay? Because that's not, you know, the issue. Ollie,
right.
Cut it out. Stop it. Okay, I'm getting pawed here.
Yeah, mine are outside, so they can't paw on me.
All right, well, think about that.
Okay.
I actually want to spend some time talking to you over the weekend.
Okay.
But that's, I'm going to finish up Liberty and Tyranny. I want to kind of flesh out these general ideas a little bit more in my own head. I want to have some more responses as far as this particular idea, as far as healthcare is concerned. What is the presentation? You know, the principal says they don't have a right to the care.
Right.
Okay. What is the obligation of the hospital to that person? Okay. And I think it's based on the premise of what the purpose is of the hospital. Okay, but I need
sure.
to clean that up in my own head so that I have one paragraph that succinctly clarifies how that principle applies to the hospital.
Do you have a Catholic health charities organization there?
St. Mary's Hospital is a, I don't know if it's Catholic oriented or not. You would think
so from the name, but yeah.
From the name,
okay.
But yeah, I mean, we have three major hospitals in Madison, and believe it or not, just three.
Okay.
One is the University Hospital.
Right,
which is
teaching hospital and all that, right.
With the university, and it's a teaching hospital and so on. The other one, which is the largest independent, is called St. Mary's, and it is associated with the university has a PPO HMO associated with it.
Right.
And they have clinics all over the state.
Okay.
The second largest HMO PPO is Dean Care, and St. Mary's is their hospital in Madison.
Okay.
But they're also branching out into other communities and counties in the area. There is a third hospital that's actually, believe it or not, all three of these hospitals are within 1 mile of each other.
Yeah, that actually doesn't surprise me, but yeah.
Okay. So if you have a trauma incident anywhere in Dane County, the helicopter literally has to fly over two of the hospitals to get to the third.
Okay. Yeah.
From virtually every direction, you had at least one of the others. Anyways, Meritor Hospital is a standalone hospital. It's not associated with either PPO, so it takes doctors from both the university and from St. Mary's and Dean's. It's a smaller hospital. But it also does a lot of the unusual critical care type cases.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So they specialize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's becoming the hospital specialization, very specific specialization. But those are the three, and my problem is, I know where my principal goes. How does it work in real life?
You're right. Exactly. Yeah. My point in bringing that up was that around here, the Catholic healthcare group is not only a general hospital, anybody can go there, but it is it has a component of it that treats uninsured, underinsured, etc. And my further point then to that is that if people want to support financially, that thrust they're free to do so, but there is no coercion at either the state, at any governmental level, to compel that coercion. And in my mind, I'm saying, well, good on you. That's fine. If you can do that based on your donations and your endowments and all of that kind of stuff, good on you. As long as you cannot compel me personally to contribute to that. Now, I may personally contribute to it, and in fact, in some respects, do, because I purchase an annual subscription to their life flight thing via helicopter. But beyond that, no, I don't. So as long as there's not a coercion, then I don't have a problem with it. And I would suspect that, I mean, and that is perfectly congruent with our principle, which is, if you personally want to contribute to the care of those people that are uninsured and underinsured, that's fine, and God love you, but you cannot compel someone else to your moral value.
Right. You know,
yeah.
Somebody sits there and says, you know, don't you want to help? No, I don't want. But if you want to, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
You know, I used the Warren Buffett thing. You know, hey, if Buffett thinks he's paying too few in taxes, nothing is stopping him from writing a check.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And
okay.
And my guess is he probably does.
My guess is he probably doesn't.
Really?
My guess is that what he doesn't pay in extra taxes that he thinks he should pay,
yeah,
he gives charity.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though.
And then takes a deduction.
Well, I'm not going to sit here and argue with you that our tax code isn't all screwed up completely, but if I make a charitable contribution and it is tax advantageous for me to do that, I'm going to take advantage of it.
That.
Yeah,
no,
I'm, you know.
No, but like I said, yeah, you know, it's the general idea that, you know, don't you believe we should all be contributing? No, but if you want to, there's nothing that says you can't.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep.
So go right
you
ahead.
Bet. Yep.
And if you,
you
think,
betcha.
If you
do
think,
it.
If you think there's a moral obligation that we contribute to everybody's health care, go right ahead.
Absolutely.
The second you take the power of government and make me do that, then there's not a then there's no moral obligation being met here.
That's exactly right. That's
all
right,
so we know where we're going.
Yep. You betcha. So we're going to do that next show, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I want to talk to you over the weekend after we've had both some time with it, and
okay.
Then I want to give Bruce the Butch. Opportunity to come on and disavow us.
if he's so inclined. Actually, you know what? I don't think that he's going to, but that's
fine.
I'm going to give him the opportunity. There you go. Okay. Super.
All right.
All righty.
I
will talk to you later, and I'm going to download our stuff onto CT and see where we go.
All right.
All righty, kiddo. Thanks.
Talk to you later.
Right.
Bye.